She kinda looks like tempest storming. She can dance like a little Egypt. She works down at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Ramona's got a keen sense of humor. She got a tattoo down her arm. It's of a python eating a little mouse, wearing a sailor hat that says snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm.
I saw Ray Wiley Hubbard on television. ACL. He was doing a deal on what's the big thing on TV that's on Channel 9, nonprofit says Austin City Limits.
ACL. He was on Austin City Limits. Cool.
He was on Austin City Limits, and he was good.
Oh, he's what a great show.
Oh, man, he was good. And his son's in there playing That's with him, right. picking with him. And,
yeah, and Lucas is playing with him.
Oh, man, that was good. Mm-hmm. I would go see
him. He's got a pretty good radio show on Tuesday nights where he just interviews songwriters, and it's getting syndicated. So, yeah, it's a good.
Really?
You know, Ray, well, you know, Ray is really talented, and he's one of those guys, just him and a guitar. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a great show. You're going to hear some great stories. And
oh, he was telling stories.
An entertainer. You remember Steve Fromholtz, how he would entertain and talk like that, tell stories along with the song? And Ray really carries that. He really carries it well. He could just go by himself. Doesn't need a band.
I'm sitting here. Would it be the producer that would get hold to him to get him on the show? Or do I need to get hold of him, Eric, and get him on the show?
Yeah, we'll try to chase him down.
Yeah!
You got a number, give it to me. I'll get a hold of him.
I'll work
on Mother Hubbard. I'll get a hold of Judy.
I got
Judy
somebody
Hubbard.
That knows him, so yeah, I'll get a hold of
Judy.
I'll work. That might be fun, get Ray Wiley in here.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah, it would. It would be a
We
fun.
Might be a little bit too conservative for Ray.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We're going to find out, aren't we?
I got a feeling we're going to. Who does my hearing aids? You know, we were talking hearing aids last week or yesterday.
Yeah.
Who does my hearing aids? Does his hearing aids, and also does all of his. He listens to himself in when he's singing.
His in-ear monitors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does all of his stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, he's one of those artists that really talks about hearing loss in rock and roll, and how exposed we've become. You know.
And see, that's why Estes Audiology, that's who I use.
Right. Yeah.
And they have told me the same thing. Ken, you know why you're hard of hearing? No.
Rock and roll.
No. Well, that's part of it.
Shotgun.
No, that's part of it, too. The majority of it was because of not wearing hearing aids or hearing protection when I'm running in the boat.
The motor, yeah.
The wind, yeah.
40
Noise
miles
pollution.
An hour.
Yeah, yeah.
40 miles an hour is 150 decibels in your ears constantly.
Yeah.
40 miles an hour in a boat with no hearing protection is 150 decibels constantly in your ears.
Well, we were talking about that military regulations for hearing protection, and even 30 years ago in the Navy, they would test us every 3 months. If you worked around guns or ammunition, any of that, you got tested constantly.
Now they got the lawsuit about the company that sold the bogus earplugs.
Right, and that's the ones we were using. We used those, but they did work. But sometimes big guns, these 3-inch and 5-inch guns, there's a huge percussion that goes off.
When the shell's the size of a Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, it's an earthquake every time it happens. In fact, the first time, you know, a lot of people don't know what it's really like to be there when the fire's burning, the wind's blowing at you. But when you get done, you realize you have to change your underwear. and you didn't know it.
You didn't know it, huh? No. Well, you think about it. You know, the Navy, those warships, the battleships.
Yeah, those are the 16-inch.
They were shooting, like Eric said, mm-hmm. they were shooting shells as big as and heavy as a Volkswagen.
Yeah, well, our 3-inch and 5-inch guns would shoot between about 12 miles for the 3-inch and about up to 17 to 20 for a 5-inch shell. And when it goes, it's a big old thwomp.
Is there any recoil?
Yeah, but it's absorbed. And you
figured it would be the water.
When you're
yeah.
in the tub, you feel it. It shakes your world. The whole there, it is the loudest sound you've ever heard in being involved in it. And when you get done, your eyelashes are burned. Your anything that was exposed, any of your hair is singed off. You're in the ether as it burns off.
Something I was watching on television, they were showing this huge cannon, and it was in the 70s, 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. when they were thinking about shooting, you know, they were, that time, that's when they were going to shoot.
The rail guns, yeah.
Not a rail gun. This is a regular gun.
Okay.
The barrel was huge. They were shooting into space, the shell.
Sure.
They were going into space, and they were thinking about putting a person in that thing.
Well, you'd never.
How the G-forces would he hit?
You couldn't tolerate it.
Oh, hell no.
Not only that, is that the centrifugal spinning, I mean, you just it's not humanly possible. You look at these UFOs and that performance, and we look at that and go, well, we wouldn't survive that. But obviously, there's something can survive that because they're doing it.
UFOs, they're saying that they're coated with some kind of a something that's cool around. It's cold, but the outside is hot. So, I don't know.
You and I will be long gone before they can figure any of that out.
Unless they figure it out when they get one and reverse engineer it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we could reverse engineer all we want. If we're not smart enough to understand what it is we're looking at, then we can't do much with it. And that's, on that whole evolutionary ladder, we're still little tiny ants.
Yeah, we are. Man, we'll figure that
out. It's all a concept to us yet.
I still say the reason all of a sudden the Navy starts showing the picture, the videos of the UFOs, mm-hmm. that they're, something's coming down the line.
Well, there's enough guys have been in the military that have been out to sea that already know we're not alone.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
And you can't hide it. It's not a secret anymore. And there was non-disclosure agreements I think I signed through my careers, three of them. Once as a civilian and two as in the military. Don't talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the stuff they're talking about. So it doesn't really matter.
What gets me is Macy Ledbetter, we've had how many times on the show, and this thing's above him, and it's sitting there, and he's got lights all over it. Well, I'm going to look at it. So he shines his million candle power light up at it, and he's sitting there looking at it with his million candle power beam.
Laser beam.
Yeah, and his phone rings. Hello? Mr. Ledbetter, would you take your floodlight off of us? It's messing us up our instruments.
You're blinding the pilot, yeah.
The pilot of the UFO mm-hmm. calls him. That's our guys. I'm sitting there. They've already reverse engineered a bunch of this stuff.
Oh, well, we probably have. And I think it's really good that I don't know about that.
They don't
tell us.
It's, yeah, probably.
We're probably a lot better off. There's so much we don't know.
I probably don't want to know. Hey, family, we got to get out of here. Next, we're going to talk to Sean. We'll see y'all in just a little bit.
Here we go.
Yeah,
Let's go.
We shut up. We got to listen to this. See you in a little bit. Thank you, Callahan.
Green snakes on the ceiling, walking walls I can see. One fool on a stool, and on this stool sat this fool me. One fool on a stool, one drink to a hand. No thread for your needle, no mouth, I ain't seen your man. Anything you wanna tell me, I got no time for. Just order your drink, I'll make room for more. One fool on a stool is what I heard the bartender say.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylod.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
We found Sean, and we're going to visit with him, see what's happening on up there in the north, up there on... I'm having an old fart moment. Belton. Lake Belton and that other lake that's just north of there. But we'll find out.
In Waco.
Yeah. What did you you fished a tournament last weekend, weekend four last? Did y'all do any good?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we they paid six spots in that tournament, but the crazy thing is we finished seventh.
Oh no.
But listen to this. They paid for the high, Chevrolet donated $1,000 to the highest finishing team that was driving a Chevrolet.
Oh.
It just so happens we were driving the vehicle and the teams ahead of us.
Didn't. Cha-ching.
Yeah. All had Fords.
Yeah, so it was pretty good.
So you made $1,000.
Yes, sir.
Well, that'd work. Heck yeah. I work in anybody's
book. What if
book?
You'd have been in a GMC?
Well, I think it wouldn't have really mattered because I think GMC and Chevrolet, they're all
General Motors
tied probably
together.
Would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. I know one thing. If you have a truck and you have a used truck, you can sell that damn thing for more money than you paid for it right now.
Exactly. And that's crazy.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It is crazy. I've got two trucks that are sitting in the backyard, my old 90 model that I bought brand new, and I got guys that offered me $3,000 and $4,000 for it and $5,000. And I said, really? Yeah.
Neighbor just paid $47 for a F-150 with a six-cylinder in it. Yep.
$47,000.
$47, yes. And it was a demo. It had like 1,800 miles on it.
Wow.
Yeah, they're like gold right now.
Wow.
It's crazy. It really is. They keep offering me cash.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I need a truck. I'd have to replace it.
Yeah, if you're driving a truck, there's a reason for it because you use a truck. Yeah. And if you sell it, you got to replace it.
Yeah. You can't, they'll be wanting twice as much as what they gave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's sort of like our daughter who lives over in Hutto. They live in a really nice house, and well, he bought it quite right. And you know, that house, they could sell it for close to $500,000.
Wow, yeah.
But
you got to buy one.
If they buy one, they're going to pay more than that.
Yeah.
So why sell?
Move to Seguin. Sell your house in Austin. Move to Seguin.
Oh, that's what they do in California.
You will have money.
That's what they do in California. They sell the houses in California, move to Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they ought to sell their houses in California, move to Texas, marry them somebody from New York City, and then move to Wisconsin.
Well, did you see that they are saying that's why that the Newsom didn't get recalled is because the voters that were going to recall are the ones who have already moved.
To Texas.
The ones that were going to have the power in that recall. Well, to Texas, anywhere. They just got out of Dodge. Nobody's in California. So.
Yeah, I don't know. We won't get into that one. I'm not really into politics, so.
You are now. It's a fishing show.
I know it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So y'all came in. You didn't win it, but you still got money and probably more than the sixth place did.
Yeah, we did, and that was the crazy thing. Everybody's like, well, it looks like we need to go get a Chevrolet now.
Well, yeah. Well, they should. That's what I drive.
Yeah.
Chico drives a GMC.
Yeah. Same truck as yours.
Yeah, same truck. His is, identical. Except the new GM, I think you can get that new tailgate.
Yeah.
I want that new tailgate.
We just missed it, didn't we?
I know. We did. I want that new tailgate, the one
that
steps
that
down.
One that folds out where you can use it as a step.
Yeah.
I want the cat.
I know. Oh, well.
Chico wants that something different.
Well, yeah. It's always.
Be right if we wanted the same.
Yeah, I want to pick up with a moonroof.
Oh, good gosh.
I don't know why. I just want one. I've always
wanted. Haven't put those in anything in a long time.
I know. But I had the last thing I had with a moonroof, and it wasn't a moonroof. It was a T-top. I had a Corvette that had the T's and could take that out. And I had fun with that.
Yeah.
Until the state police got you.
Well, they never did. They caught me running 140 in a 55.
Exactly. They got you once.
Yeah, but 140.
140. Oh, it would do 188.
Good night.
and it was still going at 188. I chickened out because it was getting awful light. It was getting light. Mm-hmm. And it was starting to float.
At 100.
Oh, 100 don't bother.
No, 100 ain't nothing.
No, 100 don't bother me. No, 120, 100. When the front end starts getting light, mm-hmm. and that Corvette really started getting light, and I'm sitting there, I'm done. I can't do it no more. And it was still getting it. And I had a bunch of work done on that engine, and I'm sitting there, man, this thing.
But you had the 427 in that, right? Is that what you had?
I had a 350.
Oh, it was a 350.
That was a 383 stroker. That was even more than that. Yeah. It had nitrous in it, everything.
It'll do it.
And it was doing it easy. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, I could have got 200. And that's what I was shooting for. I was wanting to get 200 out of it. It had 200 on the speedometer. Yeah, Eric said to me, what are y'all talking about? I think we're getting uncomfortable.
You keep pulling it off.
But yeah. Kids, what we're saying is, yes, this was a long time ago, and things were different then. Don't try to speed now. Don't drink. Don't drive. Don't break the law. Stay good and stay healthy.
Don't do as I did.
Hey. Yeah, don't do as I did.
Don't waste your money on gold chains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to buy gold coins and silver and, I don't know, palladium. I think palladium's the way to go. Palladium. No, palladium.
Yeah.
Platinum. Palladium is a different metal. And if I start buying it when I start buying metal, it's worth it. Palladium at that time started at about $400 an ounce. It's up to over 1,000 now.
One word, water.
Oh, yeah, about water. Water.
Just
I mean, look at water. Yeah, if you got water underneath, you're doing good.
Yep,
right.
But speaking of water, what was y'all's biggest fish?
We had one just over 3, and it was a 3-fish limit and not 5.
Mm-hmm.
So we weighed in just over 9 pounds on the 3 that we had, and it took 12 to win it. And we had 901 in 7th, and 956 was 3rd. I mean the last check, so we were right there.
So, but you had got 1,000 because you're driving a Chevrolet, and you made more money than the 6th place did.
Exactly.
So there you go. You did well.
Can't cry. It was a good day, all in all.
But if you had caught that 950, you would have had that money and Chevy money.
Yep.
Okay, and if you had had big bass, you'd have had the big bass purse too.
Yeah, if we'd have won the whole,
would have should have could have
come out of there with $6,000.
Yeah, so are you throwing? I asked yesterday. I was talking to Kirk Stanzel, and are you throwing braid? Or are you throwing mono? Or are you throwing fluorocarbon?
I'm throwing fluorocarbon, and the bite that's working really well right now, and what we caught our fish on last weekend was a buzz bait and a pop R. Everything we caught last Saturday came off a topwater bait.
Any particular color better than others?
We were throwing bone white.
Bone white, okay. And just getting out there, putting your time in, and having fun, and pretty much it. Tell them how to find you in case they want to get some pointers.
My phone number is 254-702-9218, or they can email me, SeanNewsHotmail.com.
Sean, I appreciate it, brother.
You bet. Y'all be good today.
Tell everybody I said hello.
I sure will.
Be good. Well, here in just a minute, we're going to visit with Jerry down at Deep Sea Headquarters. We talked to him yesterday, and we never even talked fishing yesterday. Maybe we better talk fishing this
time.
Yeah,
we keep.
I think we just talked cooking yesterday.
Well, between the two of us, ADH.
yeah, that. Attention deficit.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and then, huh?
Huh?
What?
What?
What? Hey, family. Oh, we're going to listen to a little of Western music, country and Western. This is Western. We got to get out of here. We're going to talk to Jerry, Deep Sea Headquarters, next. Thank you, Callahans. Thank you, family, for tuning in.
With a Mexican girl, nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Got out of town on a boat from the Southern Islands. Sailing a reef.
Hey, family. Y'all know who we got going on right now. We got Jerry, Deep Sea Headquarters. Jerry, good morning, sir.
Do you know today is Sunday?
Yes, sir. Early.
I'm off tomorrow.
Well, I thought you was off every tomorrow. Day.
And hey. I haven't. Yeah, thank you very much.
all you do is fish, and that's not a real job. I hear that all the time.
In weeks.
I know, I hear that all the time. All you are, you're a fishing guy, and that's a job?
He fishes for bait in the tank.
Yeah, that's it. He runs his net around catching little shrimps.
Last week, you know, the shrimp we got now are hoppers, and this week they're bigger. Last week they were a little smaller, and I was getting shrimp, and one jumped out and hit me in the forehead and stuck there.
Horn.
Just hanging down there. The lady I was getting bait for almost had a stroke. I looked at it cross-eyed, and I reached up there, and I pulled it out. I said, would you like this one?
Here's one more.
I had a little spot of blood on my forehead, you know. Sad to say, that's not the first time that's happened.
Not bad. Not bad. Okay. Did the people go home?
No, are you kidding me? I don't know where these people come from. You know, the ones that don't have kids in school, they waited till now to come, and they're here, boy.
Well,
I worked a little late last night. I didn't know, 8 o'clock. I thought about going next door to the restaurant and getting a beer or maybe ordering something, you know, taking it home. And I walked over that door, and I went, oh, no, not me. And my mama raised some kind of stupid children, but I wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going in there. I'm not going in that place. So, yes, it's very crowded. Not crowded on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to come down, you know, come on down then, and you can get a hotel. The restaurants aren't crowded. You can come right in my store. Hey, it's September. We're putting out some Christmas mugs today. Christmas mugs, boy.
Christmas mugs.
I can't.
September, October,
it.
November, December. It's damn.
Driving me crazy. Absolutely driving me crazy. We just started putting them out. A lady bought one. I told her, nobody's going to buy these. a cotton picking lady ball when I said, "Lady, you're making me look bad." Are you kidding me?
Well, hey,
but the point I was going to make is, can you believe it's already September
19th? Yeah.
Or whatever it is, September 19th is. Yeah. And, oh, my God, where is the – now we're more than halfway through. I couldn't believe when we came – almost Labor Day. Now we're halfway through September.
October.
Dove season.
Oh, yeah.
The boys are – boys been bird hunting. It's teal season. It's going to be deer season in what, less than in 6 weeks?
No. Deer season's just 2 or 3 weeks. You can start archery hunting
on
the 1st of October. Now you can do
10 days or something.
Well, yeah, MLD tags. You can hunt high fence places where they have their tags. You know, they got to take care of some of the, you know, their cull bucks, or they need to take some does off their place. You can hunt that with MLD tags.
With the rifle, October 1st.
Yeah, October 1st.
And that goes until like the end of February.
But now regular rifle season won't happen till what, first weekend
in November, 5th, yeah, or 6th, something like that. Still, yeah. that's only 6 weeks away.
It ain't far. Mm-mm.
I'm not ready. I got to move some stuff. I'm going to have to get on the tractor, boy. I'm not ready.
Well, so you're going to be putting some food plots in?
No.
Oh, you just...
No, we don't do that in that granite country. You know what we got in that, up there in that granite country?
Yeah.
Is we got about as much... In that strip of land that runs across west to east, what the heck's going on?
I hear it.
I got a bay boat out here that must have, I don't know, what's the biggest speaker you can get on a 22-foot boat.
Oh, man.
Has it got a 14-inch?
The Harbor Master's going to be after them.
Good.
Let me walk somewhere else. My Lord have mercy. And he's pulling up the air to get shrimp, too.
Yeah, you're going to have to sell him shrimp.
I'm going to have to say something. I'm not politically correct. You know that.
Yeah.
I don't mind saying stuff.
So he pulls up, and the boat's going...
I'm old and I'm little, but I don't, it doesn't, my mind forgets that, and I have to try to crawl on top of somebody's head. I have to. Anyway.
Okay.
Ammo changes.
We got to talk fishing. We didn't talk fishing yesterday.
And the seasons are changing on the fishing. Now, this week, a lot of big vermilion snapper, and you know, that's about as good eating and fishing as you can get.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about 100. Some nice, you know, a vermilion snapper, folks, is not big. It's not a big fish. Huh. But I'm seeing a lot of 2 and 3 pounders this week.
All right.
That's a really beautiful vermilion snapper. And what a nice fillet.
Mm-hmm.
And still a few kingfish. The boys on the boat yesterday.
100-pound lane.
Some of the guys that were talking about, you know, they wanted to catch a shark. Well, a couple of them got to catch a shark. They're good now. They don't want to catch another one. No. They got to catch those big sandbar, those big 150, 200-pound sandbar sharks. That guy went, "Oh my God!" I finally told him, "You know, I'm hung." And he said, "No, sir, it's 350 feet deep here. You're
You ain't hung."
But a lot of those sandbar sharks, still a few kingfish. We're not catching quite as many kingfish because we're bottom fishing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of amberjack, you know, just barely keepers, but a barely keeper amberjack is a 30-pound fish.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and that's
good
a beautiful
eating.
Fish.
Oh,
and they
dang,
are
good eating.
Eating. Real firm white.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Best. I think that's probably my favorite is amberjack.
It's one of my favorite. Yeah. I take the rib and throw them on the grill with sweet and spicy sauce, you know. But the fishing's good. Now, tomorrow, I don't know. We got do we have a little front coming or something?
Wednesday,
tomorrow and
Wednesday.
Tuesday. Well, that's the problem. Then the wind will be sucking from the south here because tomorrow and Tuesday it's calling for me to have more like 5-6 foot seas. And it's been since Wednesday. It's been 2 foot. It's been beautiful here. We get the it's like we used to have in the summertime pattern in the morning. Dead calm, and in the afternoon we get that little, like what my daddy called that sea breeze, getting the little sea breeze, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Clear skies, the stars are out this morning, you know. No, usually in the morning I go out, I can see lightning way off in the distance somewhere, just that heat lightning, I guess. Nothing like that going on right now, so it's a perfect time to come down. And if we do get a little front, it might cool off just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I will.
I had some ladies come in yesterday. I think that was yesterday, Saturday. And they wanted to know what the biggest test line I had. I said, why? What are you fishing for? Redfish. They keep breaking us off. So there's some bull reds at the end of the jetties already.
Okay.
Big ones. Fine. I had a guy in a boat tell me the same thing and I don't ever say anything when they say, oh, yeah, we tagged three bull reds yesterday. I don't like that, but I don't say anything because, number one, they're not good to eat.
Mm-mm, not the big ones.
Number two, they're females. They're not bulls. They're cows. They're females. And they're the ones that are going to lay the eggs, mm-hmm. you know, but to each his own. So I don't say anything. But so obviously they're here. I don't mind catching one once a year. One.
Yeah, that's all,
I want to catch. And then I'm good. Oh, that's a beautiful fish. I put it back, revive it, and put it back and let it go. But so that means pretty soon here, they'll be right up in here in the park, you know. All along, people will have their surf rods. They'll be lined up along the channel here. But they are at the end of the jetties now. Lots of them. Lots of them. Mm-hmm. There's still some big sharks in the surf, too. We're getting out of that time of year. I don't tell people this very much. I hear the music. I don't tell people this very much because they like to go to the beach. But summertime's when we have the giant sharks out there, the big hammerheads and everything, 1,000-pounders. Anyway, fishing's good. Y'all come see me, guys. I'm at Captain Kelly's Deep Sea Headquarters. When you come off the ferry, first place on the left, you cannot miss us because of this big red pirate ship. And that's a fun thing to try, too. Come down and go fishing with us. I'm Jerry. My number is 361-749-5597.
We'll holler at you Saturday next week.
Okay. I'll be here.
Be good, brother.
All right. Bye.
Hey, family. We got to get out of here. Next, we'll be talking to Billy Koshin. Thank you, Callahans, and thank y'all, family. See you in a bit.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
When I die, I may not go to heaven.
Family, we got Billy Koshin on the phone. We're going to visit with her and see how the fishing is down there and see how she's doing. I'll let you tell
her.
Well,
I went and got my second opinion. I tell you what, getting a second opinion is a good thing to do.
Is it?
Don't ever go off the first thing people say. Go get your second opinion. I went to MD Anderson. Mm-hmm. I'm not as bad as they said, but I'm not as good as I'd like to be. So I still have to have surgery. So we're going to put it off until the end of September, I think it is, or October. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in there, we're going to have surgery. I do have melanoma. I will be checked every 6 months, but I've got third. I'm not stage three, so thank God for that.
So all they're going to do is go in there and dig it out of you. They'll take the little ice cream scoop, scoop each one of them out, and then sew them back up. Or are they going to have to do some real cutting on you?
They're going to do some real cutting. But that's fine. I'm not on my deathbed. When they told me here I was in third stage, I was like, dang it, I only got one more stage to go, and I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So I'm very blessed that I'm not there. I'm in the first to the second stage, so that's good. That's good.
Okay. That's good. Well, yeah, it is.
So I am very blessed that I went and got a second opinion.
Well, heck yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and they said after surgery, I'll have stitches for 2 weeks. They'll take them out and back to work.
And then you get back out there and get back fishing and wear
right.
and wear sunscreen.
Oh, yeah, no, I got to wear pants and shirts. I mean, they changed my wardrobe up a lot, so I was like, what? So, yeah, I'm going to be hot, but I'm good. I get to go fishing, so
well,
I'm good.
You can get that those pants. What are they called?
The yoga pants?
Yeah, they got the zippers on them where you unzip the legs, but you can't have them with zippers because you'd unzip the legs.
Yep.
And you can't do that. But they got, you know, they got an SPF of some of them, 35, 50. And then you can get the good shirts.
I'm working on that. I'm getting some good shirts that have that real good sunblock in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I cannot wear visors anymore. I have to go to hats because they found one on top of my head. So I got to go to hats instead of visors.
I'm scared to death to go have them look at my head. I got all kinds of little things on top of my head, I feel. Mm-hmm. Because I never wore a hat. I hate a hat. I hate a cap.
I hate hats. I do, too. I don't like them at all. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do if you want to keep doing what we do.
But
so
now,
that's what I'm going to do.
I have the only thing is, I have a T-top. You don't have a T-top in yours.
No,
so
I don't.
Have a little bit of help there. But still, the bad part about us, a fishing guide, that sunlight reflects off of that water, and that reflected light is worse than what's coming down out of the sky.
You better believe it. And it's not just fishing guides. I mean, I see a lot of people, especially women.
Oh, yeah.
We want to get out there and get that pretty suntan thinking, oh, gosh, if we got that beautiful suntan, the boys are going to look at us better. You know, I'm past that. I don't give a hockey puck if you look at me or not.
Billy just wants to catch fish.
That's right. I just want to catch fish.
Well,
so
you're going to be having to wear waders in the summertime.
I won't wear waders.
She doesn't use them.
No. And you'll even have to start using live bait.
No. You're going way too far out of the football field here now.
I'm with you.
No. Yeah. I'm going to do enough just to get by, and that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sound like me. I'm fixing to start guiding again. My son, he's got a real job. He burnt out. I said, son, you can't burn out. I burnt out in 33 years. Now I'm fixing to go back to guiding again. And yeah, that's all
it's
I'll say.
It's changed. It's different. It is different. Everything's changing really fast. And I mean, if you're not on the water at least two or three times a week, it's different. It's whole new feel the people coming into the industry, and it's the new laws and stuff like that. I mean, it's changing faster than we can keep up with it, actually.
Yeah, I'm
ready for deer season.
I told Max, I said, okay, take that damn fish finder that you put on there, had put on there $3,000. I'm going to put my X16, my paper graph back on there. I know how to use that. I don't know how to use that thing. Can you get Channel 24 on that? And he said, Dad. It's not that much different than the one that you had, but you know, he's got side scan and he's got this and he's got this. So I'm sitting there. Wow,
we'll get you up to speed.
I guess so.
Yeah, but let me tell you what. There's nothing wrong with old school.
No, they ain't.
Nothing. Mm-mm. Not a dang thing wrong with old school. Because I tell you what, we caught them. Actually, if people think about it, we actually caught more back then than we do today.
Yeah. Now, I had 500 feet of rope in my front locker. At 500 feet of rope in my back locker, I would drop an anchor off the front, back up, drop my back anchor, pull back up, pull them up, pull them tight, and I wouldn't move.
Right.
And I said, son, what happened to all my rope?
Power poles.
Yeah.
Power poles.
Oh, no, we don't. We're not in that shallow water. We can't use power poles.
iPilot.
Oh.
iPilot. On the grass, on the GPS.
Lord, I don't like. I know my husband used that iPilot. I don't like iPilot.
I'm
not an iPilot person.
You can't cut bait with an iPilot. It's sitting there moving all the time. And so, you know, that's why I always did two ropes. because I could work a ridge too. I could drop, you know, you can work down that ridge, or you can work up it, or you can go on the other side. And he does the same thing with his, you know,
iPilot.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not.
The only way to fly. It's the only way.
I know. A lot of people say that. I can't do it. I tried it, and I just don't feel comfortable. I feel like I'm getting – I don't feel like – just in my mind, I know it is working, but in my mind, I feel like I'm moving too much off of what I'm trying to – I'm trying to
– It's actually much more accurate.
The one thing I noticed that I did like is when we was out there fishing and Billy's walking down the beach, and the boat's sitting there following her.
See, that's
what I'm sitting there. What the hell? How are you making that boat follow? Yeah. Oh, it's the controlling motor.
Right.
It's following this,
and it'll stay pointed upwind. Perfect.
5 miles back.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It just sits there and follows you, and that's they've got some great stuff out there, but. It's just stuff that I got to learn now.
That's right. You just got to sit back and teach yourself. But fishing's been real good down here. The trout, I know a lot of people are hungry for the trout, and they are schooling back up here pretty good. The redfish are really on fire right now. Drum, everything's still running like it's supposed to. We get our first cove front in on the 28th. They
pushed
to the 28th.
Wednesday.
Okay. Well, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
something like that.
The storm didn't come through here.
Nope.
It actually missed us.
No rain at all.
Thank God for that. I was actually at MD when it hit, when it was coming that way, so I had to drive back down to Corpus, and I came through some woolly stuff.
I bet.
You went through the whole thing.
It turned into a hurricane before it hit. Galveston and
Louisiana,
Houston.
Louisiana, yep. We're on the back side of the bad stuff again. They
now,
got a lot of rain.
We had Kirk Stansel on Hackberry.
Yeah,
he says we only got 3.5 inches of rain. I'm sitting there, really?
I heard some parts didn't hardly get any, but I know that my husband has an office in somewhere in Louisiana. Anyway, mm-hmm. They got wiped out pretty good.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so I think different parts of Louisiana got hit pretty good.
Okay, well, I know we're fixing to be out of time, so tell them everything.
You can get me at sportfishingtexas.com or 361-688-8859, and I am fishing. They ain't stopping me from fishing after I have surgery. Then I got to wait 2 weeks, so I'm still available.
Until they start cutting on Billy, she's going to keep fishing.
Amen, brother.
Okay. But she may not be waiting.
Yeah. After the fact, I can't wait for at least 4 weeks, they said.
All right.
Y'all have a blessed day. Thanks for calling. Talk
appreciate it.
Soon.
Thank you, Billy. Get hold of Billy Koshin. She is an instructor. She is a teacher as much as she is a fishing guide. She likes to fish with artificial. She's not a live bait fisherman. 361-688-8859. Get hold of Billy. We'll see y'all on the other side, family. We got to thank Callahan's and got to thank you. Next, we're going to visit with Kim Reduta. See you in a bit. Bye.
Don't it make my brown eyes blue? I'll be fine when you're gone. I'll just cry all night long. Say it is all. I fall to pieces.
Wow. Patsy Cline. Like yesterday, we played a song from George Jones, Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes? And this is one of the pair of shoes that would have to be filled, and there's nobody out there to fill her shoes. I assure you, Patsy Cline, oh, she could sing. Good gosh, that woman could sing. Mm-hmm.
Linda Ronstadt was in that realm.
Yep.
She did it, picked up the ball.
Yep.
I don't know if she filled the shoes. Probably sold more than Patsy.
Kimry's sitting here. Are y'all going to talk to me? Y'all talking to me? We were visiting Kimry. How are you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful. I mean, I could listen to y'all all day talk about Patsy Cline and Linda Ronstadt. I mean, Blue Bayou, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a heart that just stole mine. That's Linda Ronstadt when she sings that. And anyway, I'm a big fan of both of them. And you're right, there's nobody who can sing like either one of them, especially Linda Ronstadt's Spanish ballads. I don't know if you've heard those, but my goodness.
You know, we got to talking, and then yesterday was talking country music, and then Eric had to play. Who'd you play? Not the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Was it the Nitty?
Yeah.
It was the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and it was blues. No, it was not blues. It was
bluegrass
music. And it was, I says, okay, in the United States, we had three kinds of music. We had country, western, and bluegrass music. Now, does blue? Oh, we had rock and roll too. Yeah, you're right.
And the blues.
So does bluegrass fall into country, or it's not western? So does bluegrass and country kind of fall together?
I think bluegrass is more folk.
It was folk.
Yeah,
music.
I think if you're not a fan, you would say it's the same. You know what I mean? The person who says, I'm not into country music, would probably is not going to enjoy bluegrass, right?
I like bluegrass. Oh, yeah. Now, there's a lot of, like, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? That was some good bluegrass music. Camry, we still remember you there. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I tell you what, if we're talking about legends, Dolly Parton, she...
Oh. Yes.
Embrace all three of those, four of those genres. I mean, she just keeps going. And yeah, so you're right. I mean, I've had so much fun two-stepping my way across Texas to country western music. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings in Texas as I drive the guide all over this incredible state is, Texas is so big, you just might find yourself listening to just about anything.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you will. How did the bicycle or mountain bikers do?
You know, I went up to Wichita Falls and did the Hodderin Hill a couple weeks ago. I did a full 100 miles. And let me tell you, I had the best time with those folks out in West Texas. I have never seen such kinder, more supportive event in Texas than the Hodderin Hill bike ride. I mean, hats off to everybody that puts that event on. I mean, I was hosted by the most lovely husband-wife couple that lived right there on the main street of the start line, and they treated me like family. And I tell you what, every rest stop I was at, from, you know, mile 20 to mile 40 to mile 60 to mile 90 to the finish line, they took care of me. And I met the most wonderful, wonderful Texans and some folks out of state that come to do that race. And I just love the fact that Wichita Falls opens their hearts and the doors and their entire community and supports all of the bike riders that come to do that event. So I just want to thank anyone and everybody that's involved with the Hodderin Hill.
Did you do any mountain biking on in the state parks?
You know, I do mountain bike, and this was a road bike race, by the way, and it's so awesome, and they do it every August, and they call it the Hodderin Hill because it is hotter now.
Hotter now, yeah.
I've been
in August in Texas? Biking,
yeah, I mean, it is just such a fun event, and you can do different distances in that event, and so from a road race and a road ride, that's one of the best events you can participate in Texas, hands down.
Now, the Expedition School, y'all were helping some of the kids with the mountain bikers, weren't you?
We do, and that's the National Interscholastic Cycling Association, NICA. We have a Texas League here in Texas. We have over 700 student-athletes, middle school and high school, that race mountain bikes every spring in a five-race series.
Okay, spring. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're gearing up to do the Coaches Summit at Reveille Peak Ranch in the beginning of October, and we'll be doing a first aid class and a CPR class for all of those coaches, including a wilderness first aid class as well. So that's coming up to prep us for a great season for 2022. And, you know, Ken, you know how much I love Enchanted Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell you, I went out to catch the big meteor shower that happened beginning of August.
Person.
And, mm-hmm. Yep. And I said, you know, there's no other place that I can think of in the Hill Country that would be a better place to watch those meteors fall. So I go to Enchanted Rock. I do the 4.2-mile trail run around the park, and then I'm about to head up to the summit to catch that meteor shower. And lo and behold, I see, you know, my brothers and sisters, lights and sirens coming in from the fire department, and all the volunteer firefighters come in from all around the community. And, gosh, I asked the fire chief there. I said, hey, how can I help? How can I be a service? He said, you know, we've got somebody on top of Enchanted Rock seizing, having multiple seizures, and we sure could use some help. So, boy, I tell you what, I went up, and we had our headlamps, and they did an incredible job on a search and rescue finding this one patient. And we actually ended up landing a helicopter on top of Enchanted Rock and extricating that patient. And I also wanted to just give a big shout-out to the volunteer firefighters and medics that are in and around these smaller town communities responding like they do, because they are just so incredibly gifted and just do such a wonderful job taking care of complete strangers that are in the worst way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a privilege to be a part of that rescue.
Now, with that, y'all are... all your guys and gals that help, are they vaccinated and are ready for are had their vaccines and all of that? And that's something we need to really talk about. We need to make sure people get vaccinated. And I know we're probably stepping on somebody's toes right now, but get the vaccine. I do it for you. You need to do it for me. And that's the way I look at it.
You know, I agree with you, Ken. I wear a couple of hats in the community. I'm the EMS director for our fire department here locally in Austin, and also I'm the founder of the Expedition School, so I run a small mm-hmm. business that guides and educates in the outdoors. And one of the demographics we work with is the severe cognitive disabled and the blind and visually impaired individuals. And for the Expedition School side, it's now mandated that anybody that we hire, they have to do that. So we're big proponents of getting that vaccine, because that's what's going to help us move the dial forward.
Yep. I know you hear the music, and we're done. So tell them how to find the Expedition School, how they can get hold of you, and how you can help them if they need y'all.
You bet. www.expeditionschool.com. I'm Kimmery. I'm the founder. It's a privilege. We're on Town Lake in Austin, renting paddleboards, canoes, and kayaks. So it's Saturday, Sunday, sun up to sundown. Come see us. Come take a wilderness first aid class with from us. And thank you, Ken, for all that y'all do.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Hey, family, we got to thank Callahan's General Store. Got to thank y'all for getting up this morning. Next, we're going to be talking to Ryan Hoover. He's a gunsmith over there in Fredericksburg. See you in a bit. Thank you, Callahan.
Now I think he's going to win. Heaven's just a sin away. Oh, just a sin away. Heaven help me when I say, I think I'm giving in.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, 'cause I always wanted me one that was long and black. One day I devised myself a plan that should be the envy of most any man. I'd sneak it out of there in a lunchbox in my hand. Now getting caught meant getting fired, but I figured I'd have it all by the time I retired. I'd have me a car worth at least $100,000. I'd get it one piece at a time, and it wouldn't cost me a dime. You know it's me when
yep.
I come through town.
Right now we got Ryan Hoover on the phone with us, and Ryan is a gunsmith over in Gillespie County over in Fredericksburg, and he's helping me with some of my rifles, and we got to talking, and I know, Ryan, you love to get out and hunt with pistols. And now I have got a contender. I've got a 223 contender. And by the way, Ryan, when I picked that up off of Ryan, he says, Ken, be sure to wear hearing protection when you shoot this thing. I'm glad you told me that, because I wouldn't.
You bet.
A little loud, is it?
Oh, man, is it loud. Now, I've got a 30-30 barrel over there to pick up off Ryan. He mounted a scope on it, and he assured me that it will hit. And I'm sitting there, okay, I can take this barrel off, put the 30-30 barrel on, I'll shoot it a few times, make it hit, tune it in, and I can take this barrel back off and put my 223 barrel back on, and it'll hit again. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there.
That's right.
Bull. Because my rifles don't.
Well, that's because you don't have to take the scope off every time.
It stays on
the scope,
it. Yeah.
The scope moves with it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on my, I've got the Encore pistols, or Encore barrels, the 7M08 and the 243.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we get, I'm not in a big hurry on right now, but as soon as we get some frames for those, then I'll be hunting with the bigger. Now, before I get into that, will the 30-30 be as loud as that 223, or will it be a little less? It'll be a duller thud.
Well, I'll tell you first, Ken, I'm not as old school as you are, so I always recommend shooting with hearing protection.
Yes.
I even hunt with electronic hearing protection.
He's a Navy guy. They don't let you.
Okay. Right, yeah. Okay. Well, I ain't never hunted with hearing protection, and now this thing.
No, I know. 223 does seem to be a little loud. I mean, you ever shot a Mini 14? Same kind of thing. Those guns are super loud.
Okay, no.
You got a crack to
it. I shot an Uzi.
Yeah, not nearly the same thing. Something about it, 223 is just super loud. But, yeah, I mean, I would recommend get some hearing protection for all your shooting, Ken. I mean, I know you've got that plan to where, you know, you don't hear your wife anymore, but.
Okay. But, you know, the main thing I'm getting into, me and Ryan will, and Chico's in here with us, and we're going to start doing some podcast, and it's going to be Untamed Heritage Texas, and it's going to be much like the show. It's going to be hunting and fishing, and Ryan's wanting us, what we're wanting to do with Ryan is much like I did with John on beekeeping. We want to do I'm getting the guns and getting everything, and a go hunt with a pistol, take my game with a pistol. Then we're going to show how to clean it with a pistol. You know, no, we're not going to clean it with a pistol, but the game that we took with a pistol, we're going to clean it. It's from taking it, from getting the weapon, to putting it on the table.
Yeah, your development into handgun hunting. Yeah. I think that's a real cool concept. But Yeah, you know, it's going to go a lot more in depth than what, you know, yeah. That's what's cool about when you do those podcasts.
Well, you know, it's also, well, if we're, you know, hunting in Llano County, oh, hell, if we're in Llano County, we're going to go eat barbecue at Cooper's or Inman's. Or if we're hunting out West Texas, oh, well, we got to go through San Angelo. We're going to have to go by Zentner's and get some steak. So it's going to be a whole lot of other things part of this, too. And then we're going to talk about history in Texas, old history.
Sighting some handguns, that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be fun.
You need to do that. You need to do that with me and turn me into a striper fisherman.
Oh, it's going to be easy. That's easy. They're like feeding half-starved alligators.
You'll pick it up quick.
Yeah. When the rod bends over, start reeling. That's all the hell you do. There ain't nothing to that. But
it's harder to teach you to cook than it is to teach you to fish.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Amen. Especially fish.
But now, I shot the 223 a couple times, but I want to get... I got out there, put my sandbags down, but I got to get a bipod. I don't know which kind of bipod. I'll be in there Monday or Tuesday this next week, and we'll be looking. And I know you said the scopes are on my other gun, so that 30-30 barrel. So I got to pick that all up, and then we'll talk. I know, Chico, you're busy, so.
Well, may have some time freeing up here pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a full plate usually. Give me a call.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can get done. Mm-hmm. But and then Eric is listening too. Eric will be part of this. Oh, I'm knocking my mic around. But you know, I'm going to have a full studio at the house, so this is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it because I know Ryan's wanting to bring out the handgun hunting as much as. I think the handgun hunting, this is what kind of got me interested in it. You know, I've always wanted to try archery, but I'm too damn big to crawl up in a tree. I'm sorry.
It's not gonna work.
And so with a pistol, with a Contender or an XP-100, where I can shoot 50 to 100 yards, or even more, what really got me interested in it is when Ryan was talking, he was shooting at 1,700 yards with a pistol.
That's a mile.
Almost. Not quite.
14. Okay. Well, is that all?
I missed it by 300 yards. What the hell? But...
hey, don't tell me you don't know how finicky people get when you start messing up those numbers.
Yeah. Oh, I know, yeah. I know. But 1,400 yards is still just crazy. But
yeah, and I'll tell you, I want to quickly say I don't advocate hunting at that range.
No.
That was a long range pistol competition that I was participating in, and the reason that I always bring that story up is just because people don't realize that what handguns are capable of, and your handguns are every bit as capable as rifles, except you got to be a better hunter to use them. Mm-hmm. And it's really just about the challenge to those of us who like the handgun hunt, because we enjoy the process of kind of honing our skills. It is similar to bow hunting in that respect, but we got to practice a lot more than rifle hunters because it's a more difficult thing to be able to accurately place your shots with the handgun. And yeah, I mean, you can use a handgun to shoot, you know, if you like me, I really like, I enjoy the process of stalking and getting close to game. So that's the most common way that I hunt with an open sighted revolver a lot. But, you know, if you want to hunt from your stand like we do here, or you do a lot of pronghorn or out west, that kind of stuff too, then get set up with an XT or a Thompson. Absolutely, you can make those longer shots as well, as long as you've done your homework before.
I'm going to have fun. By the way, you got that trigger set good. I like that trigger on that Contender.
On that Contender, that is a good one.
Can I ask? I got to ask you guys a question. Now, when you're carrying hunting with a handgun, are you and you've got a scope on this? These aren't small handguns.
Mine's scoped.
Mine are all fairly scoped. Still big, you know, weapons. Mm-hmm. Are you carrying a shoulder rig, a hip rig? What's your mode of carry to be safe?
It's kind of all in the preference. With those big scoped rigs, really, your only options are a chest rig or a sling.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Hey, Ryan, I got a break right now. Let's pick it up again on this next segment. And I'll just let Chico talk to you a little bit. I know Chico's he likes to shoot a pistol. Mm. I've never been a pistol hunter. Yeah. I've never hunted with I've never even owned a pistol except as black powder. But so this is something new for me. This is going to be fun. And we're talking about that on the other side. We're talking to Ryan Hoover. And I'm trying to handgunhuntersupply.com. Did I get it right?
You got it.
Okay. Hey, family, we'll see you in a little bit. Thank you, Callahan.
I'm nationwide. Yes, I'm there. I'm nationwide.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Eric didn't know, but this segue right into what you just wanted to ask.
Just talking about it. That's funny.
You take it, Chico.
He wasn't even on it. Well, Ryan, we were just discussing ammunition now and the different types that are available, and there's so much going on with it now. But we talked a little bit before when you were in the studio. Are you primarily reloading all of your own? Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, for what I shoot, for hunting, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And because I enjoy it.
Well, is it that much better? Are you finding you can customize that because of the barrels you're shooting through and it works better?
Well,
or off the rack, is there a
shelf? You know, to tell you the truth, I'm not that finicky about it. Mine's just, you know, get me out into the field, get me some stuff to practice with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but definitely, you know, as a custom gun builder, I know throughout loading for guns that I've actually built, sure, you can. One of the great advantages of reloading is tuning the ammunition to your gun. And that's, you know, no matter what kind of gun you have. But on the other hand, if you can get factory ammunition, sometimes you can't outload factory ammunition. I may be blaspheming here, but like, for instance, every rifle I've built in a Weatherby caliber, I've never been able to out-hand load their factory ammunition.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But it ain't cheap.
Yeah, none of it's cheap anymore.
Oh, ain't none of it cheap.
In fact, we were just talking about that. The prices, we got a list of pricing here. We were looking at it and going,
mm-hmm.
It went up and then it came down, but they've held a high ceiling on the price of almost anything. But I guess where I'm going on it is, are you finding there's more reliability in what you're loading or what you could buy off the shelf?
As far as reliability is concerned, unless you're talking semi-autos, it's equal reliability.
That's interesting. Yeah. And semi-autos, you're just not touching it. It's really hard to reload that doesn't have like a neck on it, right?
Well, no, it's not. It's not that difficult. It's just, you know, I don't really I don't load as much for semi-autos, but they're definitely. Right. It's a call for that. I got some guys in the organization I run, Handgun Hunters International, who are very big 1911 or Glock shooters that hunt with them, and they all reload for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's really, changed in the last year for sure, too. A lot more people are looking at it.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we're handgun hunters are a very picky pack anyway, because we just like things the way we like them, and we like to do things the way we like to do them, and we like to experiment, and we like to test things out. So that's really the biggest thing for reloading these days is, yeah, when you're really tuning your ammunition to your gun, reloading is better. But also just saying, I want to see how this one would do. I want to see how that one would do.
Yeah.
And now we have come, you know, a few years ago, you're about even money as far as reloading and buying factory ammo was concerned. You know, you really couldn't save a lot reloading. It got to that point. But now we're back to the point where if you have the stuff, you know, which is not easy to get either, you're saving money by reloading for sure.
I know when I was, you know, that's how I got to know Ryan. I had a 257 Ackley. I love the gun. I dearly love the gun. But you couldn't buy a 257 Ackley over the counter. Now, my 280, I can buy 280 now. I'm tickled to death. And by the way, that 280 shoots better than what I was hand loading, because the hotter I run that gun, the hotter a bullet I pushed, the better it would hit. And I don't know if that's Ackley or if that's Weatherby. Ackley and a Weatherby is not that much difference, I don't think. Is there?
Well, oh, yeah. There's a difference in, like, the way that the guns are made. Or were designed. Yeah. But as far as liking it hot, no. Both okay. Weatherby and Ackley both like to run pretty hot, high pressure. Mm-hmm.
But now what I'm buying is hotter than what I was loading.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because what the Ackley I'm buying now, it's a Hornaday.
Norma?
No, Hornaday. No, Hornaday is what I'm buying. And when I was loading, I wasn't flattening it. I wasn't filling the hole of the where you put the primer.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What I'm buying, it is flattening. They're it's packed. Filling the hole with the primer.
Yeah.
So it's hotter than what I was shooting, what I was loading.
And most guys handle making them hot.
That's typical.
Yeah, they want them hot. So.
Yeah, that's typical with the factory ammunition for Weatherby and for Ackley.
I have the Ackley ammo, that 280 Ackley ammo I'm buying is as good as I was loading. It's maybe better. Mm. And I'm looking forward to getting to using the handguns, the contender I have, just to play with it. And now I'm sitting here thinking, many 22 shells or 22 bullets and or shells I've got, and 22 Winchester mag. I'm sitting there, damn, I need to get a 22 hand pistol now. And Ryan says, "You're gonna get the fever, ain't you?"
Yeah.
Oh man.
See, that's the fallback now with ammo pricing, is to find a lighter round that you can get cheaper and to be able to blow through a lot, but it's just not the same physical feel on the gun. And we spent a lot of our ammo we had stashed up and then realized, hey, we're down to 500 rounds of this here. We can't practice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an issue.
Now, Ryan knows some guys, a guy that reloads. If you keep all your brass, he can give you his email or known number, mm-hmm. and you can get hold of. He's sitting there looking at his guns as we're talking to him.
Yeah, I can hear because
I hear
he's
the zipper.
Yeah,
he's opening up his.
You're going to hear a big.
Actually, I'm looking at your barrel.
Oh, okay. Is it my 30-30?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a clean barrel. I mean, that was a clean barrel.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Now, he's got a 6.5 contender that I won at the CCA banquet. And what scope?
No, that's not a contender. That's a, I don't even know.
Oh, it's Creedmoor. Creedmoor, 6.5.
Yeah.
It's Creedmoor.
Right.
And so I'm looking forward to getting that one. And by the way, ammo is not easy to find
for that
gun. You're
going to find ammo for it? Yeah.
I was told by a fellow that shoots a Creedmoor, he says, Ken, be sure to get the 143 grain ELDX bullets. He said, that's the best shooting bullet for that gun, for that caliber. And I'm sitting there, okay, so I start hunting. You can't find it.
Yeah,
it must be good.
No.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, you won't. It's hard to find that stuff right now.
Yeah, I found some Hornaday, no. Nosler. So I bought 3 or 4 boxes of Nosler. So as soon as I pick it up, I'll shoot it in with that, and that'll be good enough for me. It'll kill anything I want to point it at.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to hunting with that 223 and in that 30-30. But, you know, Ryan's sitting here saying, okay, but Ken, you're going to have to wear hearing protection.
Oh, yeah. You know, but the great thing is these days is that you can get electronic hearing protection. You know, it does three things. It protects your ears from the sound.
Mm-hmm.
It protects your ears from the cold. And it amplifies everything around you when you're not.
Right.
So, I mean, it's worth it. And I hunt with, Howard Lane Impact Sport guns, Impact Sport earmuffs. Mm-hmm. They're not that expensive, but, man, I've been using them I've had the same batteries in it for 3 hunting seasons. It's really been great. And I really like it because, you know, I hunt with a buddy a lot, and if we're kind of planning a stalk or planning how we're going to come over a hill, we can whisper to each other and just hear each other just fine.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good worth advantage. It's worth it, man. Yeah.
Family, we're talking to Ryan Hoover, custom gun builder over in Fredericksburg, Gillespie County, handgunnersupply.com. We got it. Can you stay on for one more segment?
Yes, sir.
We got him for one more segment. We'll see y'all on the other side, family. Thank you, Callahans. Y'all be good.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Every time Eric plays Ted, Uncle Ted, I'm sitting there, I need to get him on. I need to get him back on the show. Eric says, you damn right you need to get him back on the show. He's a character. That's all I'll say for him. He is a character. I had him and Shemaine on the show. And Shemaine was
you
fun, too.
You just turn the keys over to him, and he
oh, yeah, that's
he
what you do. I mean, Uncle Ted, he's got some strange ideas, that's all I'll say, on preparing game, because he's one of these that we got to talking about ducks and we got to talking about turkeys, and he's sitting there, well, you just take, if you kill a duck, you just take a string and tie it around its head and hang it up, and when it falls through the string,
ew,
it's you eat it. Yeah. You didn't gut it? No. It all that seasons everything, and I'm sitting there, yeah, it seasons it like death. It's rot. Oh no, it tenders it and makes it so much better. He says you come over to my house, I'll cook it for you sometime. I says, no, you'll cook it for you, and I'll have chicken breast strips.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I don't know, I don't think I'm gonna try my duck and my turkey, tie a string around their head and let them fall through and then cook that. What do you think, Ryan?
That's the European way of doing it. That's how they did pheasants. They would hang pheasants by the neck, and when they fell off, that's when they were seasoned enough to eat.
That's just because they're rotten.
Yeah, well, I know, whatever.
Like, yeah.
What do you think blue cheese dressing is, Ken?
Well, it's rotten. I know that, but I like it.
Exactly right.
Well, that's see? Blue that's cheese.
I know it. I know it's rotten, but well, I like it.
Yeah. That's the flavor. Well, how about if you get somebody that makes dried sausage like they used to?
The guy, yeah, fermented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you taste that fermented taste in it. You can't taste that anymore because you have to cook it. If they selling it, retailing it, they have to cook it to kill everything in it.
Right.
And
that's why you make your own sausage.
I agree. If you want that fermented taste to it, you have to make your own. And you find you some good German that you can get their recipe off of, and he'll tell you how to do it and do it right because they know how to do it.
Here's what we need to do on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We need to get a duck and hang it by the neck and cook it and taste it.
Daily on it. Oh. Don't give him any ideas, Ryan. He's figuring it out here.
Hey, because guess what? At this point, I'm going to try it with or without you.
I know. I'm sitting here. But
you're going to have to convince Karen.
How long does it take
for
it to fall through?
Yeah. I don't know.
Till the maggots eat the meat off the head. I shouldn't say that.
I'll tell you one thing. You can't hang it in your driveway in Texas. You know, you got to have a coal storage.
Yeah, place. You're going to
have
to.
Where are you
going to
do it?
Yeah. Might be something to try.
Yeah, I'll just tell my wife we got to take some shells out of the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Or we took get a walk-in, and then we'll have to keep walk-in hot or cold. Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, it'd be something different. But, I think we need to do an old style dried sausage. You know?
Yeah.
Eric is sitting there. Oh, hell yeah. Eric got some, you know, me and him, Eric's got a place where he was raised that has the, what's the name of that food? What's the name of it? Where you had you bring the dried sausage from?
Penshorns?
Penshorns?
Penshorns.
It's still, they cook it. Because you don't think they cook it?
They dry it. It's smoke dried.
Yeah, you smoke it and it dries out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it does it have that little fermented taste in it? It does? You're going to have to bring some. I'll bring some more and you can bring some more. Now, who's the place?
Man, you know, dried sausage is like the food of Gillespie County.
Oh, I know.
Everybody out here makes it and we know we have our own recipes and whatnot. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Let's do it. The only problem is you can never make enough. You know,
you can't make enough. Oh, yes. You know, Opus, that's where I always bought my dried sausage. Now, Opus they've quit making dried sausage. Yeah. So I have to go out towards Stonewall out of Fredericksburg. And what's the name of that place?
Wait, the Stonewall Smokehouse?
No. It's still in Fredericksburg. It's just past Dutchman's.
Dutchman's.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
They do a good job.
That's where I go, absolutely. They know what they're doing.
But it's like not, it's still been cooked because it doesn't have that ferment taste.
Well, it won't have that ferment taste if you smoke it and dry it. You got to actually ferment it before you smoke it.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I've made it and it doesn't ever, the stuff that we make, we never cook, you know, we just smoke. But you know, it's technically cooked because smoking is,
it's seasoned. Zoots.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Zoots was the only place. Well, that and Mickelson's and Menard. Mickelson's it would have that fermented taste, and Zoots in Castroville, it had that fermented taste, and they were doing a cold dry. It was just a cold dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I like that stuff.
Yeah, I do. I like when you taste it, when you bite that and you eat it, and it's got that just dab of vinegary taste, and it's it. Oh, that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah.
You can tell
me. I am ready. Dang it, man, because I got a hog hunt coming in the spring with my Handgun Hunters International. I'm waiting for that first. I don't even need a cold snap. I'd take a cool snap to take the kids squirrel hunting so that we can have fried squirrel. I'm ready. You know, I'm hot and heavy this season with all kinds of hunts. I don't know. We talked about Handgun Hunters International, mm-hmm. my organization,
right.
didn't we?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's going gangbusters. We have one hog hunt in the books that's almost full up for next spring, and then another one in May. There's a Handgun Hunters Challenge going on in Tennessee in October. I mean, it is chock full, and there are a lot of handgun hunters out there, and I'm always looking for more.
Well, you know, the main thing, I'm looking to get this start, or, you know, get our podcast started and more into a different style of hunting where if you're wanting to to hunt like archery, but yet you have a weapon that is more likely to take that animal to, I don't want to say kill, but take that animal maybe in a more humane way. That's what I wanted to get into.
Well, I have zero experience in archery, so I don't know.
Not me either.
Either way, but yeah, absolutely. Handgun hunting is very effective.
Tell them how to find everything. I'm fixing to be out of time, brother.
Sure thing. If you're interested in our custom guns, please go to handgunhuntersupply.com. Click on the request a quote, and you can see some of our work there. And feel free to reach out to me with any questions you have or talking you want to do. If you're interested in joining Handgun Hunters International, just go to that website, handgunhuntersinternational.com. It's $5 a month, or I also have some founding members slots available. And you can reach me through that website as well, handgunhuntersinternational.com or handgunhuntersupply.com.
I'll see you Monday or Tuesday, brother.
Sounds good, Ken. Always good talking to you. Later, Chico.
We'll see you.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Well, I'm looking forward to picking up. It's going to be different.
Oh, it's going to be something different. It's going to be fun and interesting. We're both going
to
learn.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this. It's I've got more dang weapons than man ought to allow. But
it's not how many you have.
I know. I kind of live on that he who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. I got lots of rod and reels.
But Ken?
Yeah?
When you go to the cemetery, they don't have a U-Haul behind that hearse.
No, you can't take them.
No, they don't. That's when my son has to worry about it.
Hey, these are
sell it all in.
They're investments. Investments.
Yeah, it's investments. Then you put it on YouTube or eBay and sell it. I think we're out of time, ain't we? Hey, family, we got to get out of here. We'll see y'all again next Sunday, the Sunday Sportsman. Be sure to check us out on Saturday on the Great Outdoors. Thank y'all so very much, family. Callahan's, thank y'all so very much. Get by Callahan's General Store tomorrow. We'll see y'all later. Thank you, family. Bye.
After all, I've witnessed one thing still amazes me. Just like a man.